This is a Teal Town conversation on tealtownusa.com. I am Eric Kura. You can follow me on Twitter at puckguy14. I am joined by my fellow partner in crime, Chris JWS.
Yep.
And with us today, Adam Wild. Many of you seen his work all over Toronto and Twitter. I don't know what to promote first. Do you want it on Kiss? You on Breakfast Television? Nope. How would you properly introduce you, Mr. Wild, sir?
Dog is swiping my phone away from me because she's an attention hog, so I apologize. you know what? We could start with the hockey because I guess, this, you know, Steve Dangle podcast, right? So I'm on the Steve Dangle podcast. All right, get off the bed. Go on. I'm also on a television show here called Breakfast Television, which is like a morning breakfast show, and I'm also on a radio show, which I literally just finished up.
Busy so, man.
Busy, yeah, but you know, good busy. Everybody's busy, right?
That's true, and you're living the dream, doing TV, radio, and online. Much kudos to you, and all the time you have to fill in. And
sorry about going off camera here, gentlemen. I had to kick my dog out of the room.
Knowing very well that my dogs will probably bark at any time during this show, but
oh, they do.
Always. Oh yes, always. So basically, let's talk about the big deal here, that Patrick Marleau coming to Toronto after nearly 20 years in San Jose. Your thoughts, and how the heck is it being perceived out in Toronto?
Well, I think Toronto's got a really hardcore fan base, so you've got a lot of people who think they know a lot, a lot of people who do know a lot, and everybody's got an opinion. And I think that there are several ways that you can look at this. For us, I mean, I think that any free agent signing after Jason Blake and David Clarkson and Pavel Kubina hurts. We're terrified of what we could be getting ourselves into. It used to be in Toronto when there was no cap. It was like, yeah, sign everybody. Spend all the money. It doesn't matter. We used to spend piles and piles and piles of money. And management kind of carried that over into the free agency era, and then we got into huge trouble and had 10 years of terrible hockey. And I think, Patrick Marleau unfortunately suffers a little bit of the stigma of, oh my goodness, they spent a lot of money on a guy who's older, and, you know, that's going to be really, really bad for the team. And I think, in all honesty, this deal, anytime you have a free agent, you're going to overpay. The key for me in this particular thing is term. And the way that they've structured his contract is that most of it's bonus laden. So, you know, July 1st every year, he receives a huge fat check. That means that if there's a disaster next year or the year after, which I don't think there will be, but you never know, right? You can never tell with injuries. It's a movable deal. You could call it, and Arizona is the best example of this right now, but you call a budget team, a floor team, say, listen, we've already paid him his bonus. We just need you to take him off our hands, or we need he's going to retire. Can you take the cap hit for us, and we'll throw you a draft pick? So that's the absolute worst-case scenario. The best-case scenario is we're getting the guy that you guys know so well, the leader, the guy who's been there before. He's been in the Stanley Cup Finals. He's still got something left to prove, right? He's still got something. You know, they left some money on the table there when they lost that Cup Final 2 years ago, and I think Patrick Marleau wants a shot at that again. And what I like about what his quotes thus far is that, you know, he said the team's full of piss and vinegar, and he said, so am I. And I love that. I really, really love that. And I think it's going to be fun to watch him skate with this young team.
My impression is that Babcock had a lot to do with how this deal came. I don't think many other teams would have offered him 3 years. Is that sound right to you, or what do you think?
I think the reason they offered him 3 years is because San Jose match them on money and term. And San Jose had something that Toronto couldn't offer, which was lifestyle. He's a California boy now, right? Like he's not a Western kid anymore. He's you know, been there for, what is it, 19 years? So,
it's totally different from Android, Saskatchewan, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it sure is. So I think, you know, Toronto had to go step up to the plate and say, listen, we realize this is what it's going to take to get a guy like you. We want you. We're really serious about you. And evidently, from what's coming out about the negotiations now, and you have to understand very, very little does in Toronto anymore. It used to be a really leaky ship, and now we don't hear anything. From what we understand, Toronto was right in there with the third year right away. They knew that if they wanted to get him, it was going to have to be, you know, an extra year. And again, it's never the money on a contract that really truly kills you. It's for how long are you paying that money? And, you know, this fits the lease window perfectly. We've got guys that are obviously, you know, the well-publicized guys that are making nothing right now, relative to, you know, what a guy like Patrick Marleau would make, who are going to make insane amounts of money in the future. But until that time, we don't have to worry about that. We can spend money on guys like Patrick Marleau.
We like to use this out here since he was born out here. San Ramon native Austin Matthews. As you know, you have him on the cheap right now. You have him, you have Marner, you have Nylander, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that are on such small deals right now, and that won't be in 2 to 3 years' time. And boom, he fits right in, you know. And he seems to be perfect for Babcock's play and for, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm guessing he'll be on the wing with Austin Matthews.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they know. I realized I didn't really answer the first question about Babcock. I think Babcock did have a lot to do with that. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is a reason that Babcock probably looked at the lineup. And if you look up the left side of the Toronto Maple Leafs lineup, you've got Komarov, Hyman, and James Van Riemsdyk. And that's the thing, is that, you know, everybody just assumes that James Van Riemsdyk will be traded now. I don't know, because Marleau and James Van Riemsdyk look pretty scary now, 1-2 on the left side. And yeah, I think Mike Babcock likes guys that he knows he can work with, guys that he understands their style of play, and they understand his, and they work well together. And I think that's such a key element going forward. You know, you want to get the right veteran presence in there, because if there's anything we know, it's that it does matter. It really, really does matter, the veteran presence thing.
For sure. So I work for a Toronto-based company, and so I get out to Toronto a fair amount these days. Mm-hmm. Really hockey crazy city. I was there during the start of the playoff run. We get crazy out here, but yeah, it's a whole different level out there. How do you think he's going to be received by like fans and media? Because I know relatively, it's you know, we have a nice market here, but Toronto is like that's a whole different level. How do you think he's going to be received by fans and media?
Well, I mean, I think he's already done pretty well. He's going to know how to handle it, right? If you can handle the Stanley Cup media, you probably handle the Toronto media. And the great thing about the Toronto media is when you're winning, they're less hard. It's when you're underperforming. It's when you know, year after year after year have been unsuccessful, they're going to ask you questions that are unfavorable. And, it's so in sports writing and in sports broadcasting, it is so easy and so much fun for people to take the negative spot. Chances are things are going to go wrong, right? One team wins out of 30. That means that 29 other groups of, or 30 other groups of writers and broadcasters and that sort of thing now go, see, I told you, we weren't going to win this year. And it's such an easy path to take. So we have a lot of that in Toronto. We have a lot of coverage. There's a lot of guys that are like that. I think Patrick Marleau is old enough to not care. He's got 4 kids and his wife at home. And, you know, those are the things that matter. It's your teammates and it's your family. It's the younger guys that can struggle with that. And what I think he'll bring to the team is a little bit of that calmness. And I think what Babcock liked too was he's a pro, right? He goes in, he obviously can still skate like the wind. And there's a reason for that. He's still in shape. He is, you know, eating well and taking care of himself and not partying till, you know, 4 a.m. I think that's going to be important. And I think the media will, especially, I don't know, you guys tell me a little bit. He's usually pretty warm with the media, right? He's not a great quote, but he's usually a pretty nice guy.
He's a friendly guy. You know, he's not a big media guy. Like he'll tell, you know, he'll give a response. He'll be honest, but he won't, you know, he's not like one of those guys who just like the media flock to. He's not one of those personalities, but that's never been him.
He's kind of like that shy guy that kind of gets asked some questions here and there.
So chances are then the Toronto media is going to like him just fine because he's won gold medals and he's a nice person. They tend not to like guys who are introverts because they give him bad quotes. It's like the way they ran Kessel out of town. It was sort of ridiculous.
Oh, yes. I remember that. That was an interesting one. Buckeye, do you have something?
No, I would kind of jump onto that, is that Toronto media can be relentlessness when you're on a schneid. And Marlowe's had some schneids in there. And Adam, you can kind of give us some perspective there, but you kind of already have on this sense. Our broadcaster, Jamie Baker, was a Maple Leaf for a couple of years, and he's like, they can make you think you're better than you are, and they can make you feel lesser than you are, but you never are who you are. In that sense, do you get that sense with the Toronto media in regards to how they treat these players, and how much pressure is he going to have going into Toronto as the big signee, and is he considered like the last piece of the puzzle for the Leafs to kind of end their drought?
No, you know, I don't think he is. And I think that's the great thing. They're not bringing him in as a savior, which they've done before. Auston Matthews and Nylander and Marner, those are the saviors. Morgan Riley is a savior. They're doing it together as a team. But, you know, Austin's the guy. Austin's shouldering that pressure. Patrick Marleau is a piece to add and make the team better. But I don't think anybody's harboring any illusions, despite what Twitter thinks, that all of a sudden we're the Stanley Cup favorites. Yes. You know, we got to get a lot stronger on defense. I think everybody kind of knows that. We've got to have our younger players take a step forward this year. And what I mean by that is it's got to be more than just, okay, Auston Matthews put up 69 points last year. Now he's got to put up 75. It's got to be those guys are back covering the defense. So when we're in games where we're up two or three goals, we're not giving them up and losing them, which we did a lot last year. We're lucky that we got to 95 points because, quite honestly, it should have been over 100. But they blew so many leads, especially early on. And too many games went to overtime that didn't need to. And when you go to overtime, it's like one lucky break, and they didn't seem to get any of them. I think we lost 15 games in overtime. So, you know, that's just a crazy high number, and I think that'll even itself out.
Yeah, I remember, anyway. I remember the ranting and raving about two-goal leads there. Go ahead, Christian.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so anyway, I think Patrick, people come in, people have a sense that, you know, this guy is, you know, he will probably go on some cold streaks. I remember 10 games into Auston Matthews' time in Toronto, there was an article by a major sports broadcaster here in Toronto that said, has Auston Matthews hit the wall? And, you know, and there was a lot of talk then about, you know, Line A versus Matthews. Will Line A be the Calder winner and not Matthews and that sort of thing? And, you know, by the end of the season, the results showed. But, yeah, if Patrick Marleau goes through periods where he's not scoring, well, yeah, they'll get on him. But I think Patrick Marleau is old enough to know, yeah, well, I was an Olympian and I've been to a Stanley Cup final and I'm not really worried about you.
Oh, yeah. He's heard it a lot from media here and fans over 20 years. Figure accumulating. Maybe that's equivalent to 1 year in Toronto. But yeah. just remembering, like, last year's playoff series with the Capitals, I thought that was probably one of the better series in the entire playoffs, in my opinion, where they really, you know, they pushed the Capitals a bit there. I kind of like their chances with Marleau and, you know, another year of maturity on the young guys. You expect that they could get maybe into round two or three?
I mean, I think that has to be their expectation. Here's what two factors are the major determiners here. First off, injuries. Who is in the lineup? Because, you know, if Auston Matthews plays half the games this year that he did last year, Leafs are in a much different position. I think they still make the playoffs. But if he's not playing, you know, that's their number one guy. He is. They have guys that could fill, but I think, you know, that's really important. Number two is the play of Freddie Anderson. And I think this can go for any team. It's like, you know, San Jose with Martin Jones. When Antti Niemi was the goalie in San Jose, you weren't quite sure what you were going to get. Martin Jones is a phenomenal, phenomenal piece. And, you know, I'm glad that you guys got him on that extension because he's going to be great for a really long time. And that team even in down years when they're retooling, which will come, he's going to give them a chance to win every single night. And I think Freddie Anderson in his second year, with all the ups and downs of last year behind him, and probably a little more steady defensive core, will perform better. And I think, you know, our hope hinges really and truly on him.
Definitely. Eric, did you have any questions before we wrap up here?
Basically, I have this question. When do you sleep? Because you have breakfast television, which starts at, what, 5:30 in the morning?
5:30, yep. And then
you have the Adam Wilde show on KISS 92.5 in Toronto from, like, 3 to 7. And then you're in Canada, so it's required that you have to watch hockey.
Yes.
So when do you sleep? I mean, how do you get all this all in there, along with doing the podcast with Steve?
Well, it's it is tight. The schedule's a little tight, but you just do it. You know, I mean, I don't sleep very well. Like last night, I'll tell you, for instance, last night I was up. I went to bed at 9. I woke up at midnight and couldn't fall back asleep. So about 2 a.m., I've sat there with my eyes open for 2 hours. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to get up and play video games until 4, and then I'll take a shower and go to work. And that's what I did. So I was up for 8 straight hours from like midnight to about 9 a.m. And then I came home, took a 3-hour nap. We did the 2-hour podcast today, and then I just finished the 4-hour radio show.
Oh, gosh.
And still feeling okay. So, yeah, I think it's just you love what you do, right? And mm-hmm. So sleep becomes secondary, even though you really need it. And I definitely have like put on a few pounds and that sort of thing, because if you're not sleeping, you'll gain weight. It's just kind of the fact of life. And yeah. I have, but I love it. I love what I do, and I sleep when I can, and I'm a good sleeper. Thank God. Except for last night, I can take some naps. Anyway. So yeah, that's me. I'm also pretty boring outside of work. I like to hang out. Like, I spent July 1st, which was a perfectly sunny, rare, beautiful day in Canada, inside watching hockey or watching the free agency stuff, because I was so tired of going somewhere. I just wanted to be at home, and that's what I did. So yeah, that's kind of where I get my juice back up again, is just kind of hanging out and thankfully watching games. I actually have questions for you guys.
Okay.
Go for it. Uh-oh.
Because as a Toronto fan, and that's what I am first and foremost, a Toronto fan who's learning the other side of it, I want to know how Patrick Marleau leaving was received.
Do you want to start or shall I, Eric?
Go ahead, Chris. Yeah.
I've had my share of barbs on social media. I've been throwing back and forth because some people are, you know, react very emotionally to it because, you know, 20 years is a long time, but, you know, some people are like, oh, he wanted the money, or, you know, it's like, and my take has been like, you know what? I can't blame him. 3 years, good money. The Sharks were not going to offer that much. So really, realistically, I think he did the right thing for him. The Sharks did the right thing for them and not strapping themselves to a 3-year deal when they're kind of in that rebuilding mode. So I think no one was wrong in it. But yeah, there's definitely some fans who are like saying, I can't believe how unloyal he is. You're like, yeah, guy, after 20 years, I can't believe how unloyal he's being.
What did you guys think of Joe Thornton's deal? Because that is a lot of money, even though it's 1 year.
He kind of basically said that that he would have, he kind of structured it around to where if Marleau was coming back, you know, he was willing to take a lot less money to make sure Patty was going to be taken care of and be back in San Jose. But also the 1-year deal, I think, is more, to me, it's more of a show me deal, in the sense that Jumbo has, coming off of that knee injury, and that's really significant. Plus, he's older. And he was, Doug Wilson kind of appreciated his loyalty of sorts. Nothing disrespectful to Patty. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Patty played in literally every jersey the Sharks ever had up to this point. And you know, while everybody's been bummed about it, they've understand it, and that's why it kind of moved on a little bit easier. But mm-hmm. Jumbo has been that guy where he's like, you know, I love it here, I want to stay here, But the contract was kind of fluid depending on which way Patty went.
Right. And I think that much money for 1 year, I'm not worried about it. Like, is it a little much maybe, but like, who are they going to get?
1 year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 1 year is not going to, if it was 2 years, I'd probably not be very happy, but one year, totally. It doesn't, you know, you'll be off the books in 12 months. That's it.
And like I said, term is what kills you, man. It's the term. It's always term.
And those are the trade clauses with term. Those are the ones that really kill you.
Yeah. Like Dustin Brown. Oi.
Those are evil words in San Jose.
We were talking about that particular contract today on the Steve Dangle podcast, and I cannot believe that contract goes till 2022. that is crazy. It's crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And luckily the Sharks, while people complain about the no trade clause, they've given out two of the longest contracts in Sharks history with, the two, Vlasic and Burns, their two, key D-men. I think those are number one and number two, the two longest contracts they've ever given out. They've never given out more than 6 years prior to that, I think.
Yeah, no.
What do you think? Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, Doug Wilson used to be the guy who said, we don't like to give out 5 year deal more than 5 years. And now he gives out eight to Vlasic and Burns.
Well, I can't really say that he's made a bad decision, especially with Burns. It's like, holy, I mean, the guy's just a maniac. He's the leader for years to come. Do you think, though, the Vlasic deal will hurt?
Go ahead, Chris.
I think might be a little high. I'm kind of looking at similar contracts, and I haven't really finished looking. But I think the main thing with Vlasic, though, is it's going to be hard to measure his production because his production is becoming a black hole for opposing forwards. Like, that's really what he does. His thing is he takes up 20 to 25 tough minutes every night. Like, he'll be the guy who starts in the defensive zone constantly, plays against Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, Austin Matthews. He'll play against all the best of the best of the best every single night. And it's hard to measure that value when it's measured in, like, guys don't score as opposed to goal scoring. It's easy to look at a guy scoring 40 goals like, oh, yeah, that guy – worth the money, whereas Vlasic, like, you have to look a little deeper into the metrics and look at all the zone starts, all the tough situations, how many really tough minutes he's logging, and then you're like, you can kind of see the value there. And it's really hard to measure that one, but yeah, I definitely understand why looking at it is like, man, that's a long contract, a lot of money. But also, he doesn't play like a really physical style or really like speedy style. His thing is based on position and smart film study, so that's something that can last. That doesn't go away with age as much as, like, if a guy is, Burns, I'm actually a little more worried about in the back end because, like, if he starts to lose that physicality in 5 or 6 years, I think he could fall off more easily than Vlasic. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of what you had to do, though. Like, those two are, like, the cornerstones of that blue line. And with those guys in there, it's not that hard to stalk a good blue line with them.
No, exactly. Well, and they can both play 25 minutes a night, so that's kind of important, too. I mean, it's really special. We don't have... Like, you guys have two guys like that. We don't have one. And that's not a diss against Morgan Riley. He might become that, but, those two guys are very, very, very special players. And pretty rare that you get two defensemen from one team on an Olympic team like Canada, too. Canada's kind of a stacked team. Both those guys are on it.
And they both play different styles of game and pretty much different lifestyles of everything. Burnsy, obviously, we've seen the cover shoot of ESPN magazine with the beard and tattoos and everything. Vlasic's kind of like the laid back. In a sense, he's almost like Patrick Marleau, where he's kind of laid back. He's kind of quiet. He doesn't stand out and just does his thing and, quietly goes about his day.
Those two are the yin and yang of defensemen, really.
It's amazing. And you need that. You need that. Especially, Chicago sort of had that with Chalmerson and Keith and Seabrook, but Seabrook's starting to look like, he had an off year last year. We'll see if he rebounds. That's what you kind of want. You want those two big guys, and then you can kind of fill in around them with serviceable pieces because those guys are studs. But what do you think we're getting in Patrick Marleau? Like, what did you see last year and the year before, and what do you think Toronto's in for?
I'll go first real quick. So I would say probably a 20 goal scorer, 30 if he just has a really dang good year. He is streaky in the sense that almost every scorer is streaky. He's not a big assist guy, so it's like you don't, you know, you'll have longer droughts because goals, you know how they go. Like you can do everything right and just keep on getting stonewalled. It happens sometimes. So he's a little more streaky than, you know, someone who's a little more balanced assist to goals, but you'll probably get 20 goals out of him, probably get, you know, 15 to 20 assists. I think you'll get a pretty solid, you know, guy who's a solid winger. Still fast. He can still make guys look silly. A couple times a year, he will just put on the jets and make some defenseman go, whole what? I forget who he did it to this year. It was a pretty good defenseman. I'm blanking on it, but he's done it. He does it a couple times a year where just like some guy gets caught flat-footed and he's gone. Just like he'll shoot past him. So I think he'll give you consistency as far as like just guy who can apply some pressure. It's a good power play player. He can play shorthanded still very fast. I mean, that's what I would say. What do you think, Punk Guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's Chris kind of hit it right on the head. You're going to get 20 goals throughout the year. I mean, you might get 6 within the first 15 games, but then he might go cold, you know, in the next 10. And that's going to be the interesting part that we watch out here, is how that gets perceived out in Toronto. Unfortunately, the media out here is, you know, it's all gaga for Warriors, Giants, and football, which is why we do this thing out here. But for Patty, I mean, you have that 10, you know, like that streakiness, and then the next game he scores 4 goals against Colorado. So
right.
he can turn it on in a switch, and along with his speed. His speed is, for 38, he's probably the fastest 38-year-old I've seen, and he's got it. He can play whenever, wherever, and with association with Babcock, I think it's only going to accelerate his ability. So you guys have a good player, and with a good centerman, which I, like I said, I think he'll be with Austin Matthews. That's only going to, you know, accentuate how well the Leafs will be this year.
Well, here's hoping. Here's hoping. Well, guys, thanks so much for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. We really appreciate you jumping on. Like, you know, tweeted at you, I guess, the other day. And yeah, you responded really fast, and really, really appreciate you jumping on here with us. Cause yeah, we've been seeing who we can get to talk to from Toronto. Cause we don't normally talk to a lot of Toronto people. Cause you know, other,
we don't play each other much.
Yeah, we don't play each other much, but now, you know, we have an interesting connection there. So we may have to get in touch with you guys again and see what's up.
Well, yeah. Anytime, gentlemen. It was a pleasure to meet you both, and thanks so much. And let me know when the show comes out so I can pump it out to everybody, because I know there are Sharks fans who are dying for a Sharks podcast. So this is great.
Yep, oh, yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Definitely. Thank you.